This is Cleveland Connection. For the next hour, you'll hear conversations with people making a difference in Northeast Ohio. Here's your host, Glenn Anderson.
All right, well, good morning and happy Sunday. My name is Glenn. This is Cleveland Connection. With me today, I have Sherry White. She is the president and CEO of My Sister's Keeper. I also have Demetria. She's the director of community engagement. Ladies, good morning. Thank you for being here so much.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you both here. Now, Sherry, you were diagnosed with breast cancer. Let's just start right in with it. You were diagnosed with breast cancer when you were 32 years old. Yes. Talk a little bit about how life was prior to that. How were things going? What were you doing? How were things?
So at that time, prior to my diagnosis, I was a single mother of three children, just living life, just working a 9-to-5 and was just focused on my family and work.
So that's how things were. You were diagnosed at 32, and how did you go and get diagnosed? What were some of the symptoms? Like, what was happening to you at that point?
At that point, I didn't have any symptoms, but what I felt was a knot in my chest, in my upper part of my breast. I didn't do any standard mammogram or self-breast exams, but what I felt was like someone was poking me in my chest, and when I went to feel it, it was a lump. So I went to talk to my family about it, and they said, well, maybe go and see your doctor. So I did. They scheduled a biopsy for me right away. And a couple of days later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer with no family history.
So obviously that news is always shocking to anybody that is diagnosed with that. How did you deal with that in the first couple of days, weeks, months?
That's a great question.
How long ago was this, by the way?
13 years now.
Okay.
13 years, yeah.
Okay.
At that time, I was lost.
Yeah.
I did not know anybody with breast cancer, and everything that I knew about breast cancer or any type of cancer was related to someone dying.
Yeah.
So that's ultimately what I thought. I was depressed. I sunk deep into myself, tried to get my finances in order. I even started writing my obituary because that's what I thought my life was going to be. It was just horrible. I was totally lost and could not see a bright light ahead at all.
So did you go and rely on family members and things like that to talk to you? Did you kind of like keep everything to yourself? Did you do anything on like social media? Like what does one do in those moments, and who do they rely on?
So what I did is what I would encourage everyone not to do if you're diagnosed with cancer. What I did is I internalized it. I did not let anyone know how I was feeling, really. I was sick, I was worried, I was scared, because the way people began to look at me was if I was going to die. And that didn't make me feel any better. So that's just what I did. And I just started folding deeper and deeper into depression and anxiety and stress. It was tough, really hell. What someone should do is talk to someone who's been through cancer. That way you can understand and see proof that you can't beat cancer. And because I didn't have that proof, I'm kind of stubborn. You can't tell me anything about anything you don't know anything about.
Yeah.
So
right?
I didn't know anyone with cancer who can tell me that there is a bright light ahead. You can get through it. And because I didn't know any better. But now, you know, people can go to My Sister's Keeper. That's why I started My Sister's Keeper, to help be that guiding force or that guiding light for women with cancer.
So that was my next question. So you went through a lot of surgeries. You went through a lot of chemo, a lot of self-reflection, a lot of difficult times, not only with family and friends and things like that. You came out on the other side. Tell me about that day when you were told that the cancer was no longer there.
Oh, that was right after surgery. So I had a 14-hour procedure. Mm-hmm. Altogether, I probably had 10 surgeries, 6 rounds of chemo.
Wow.
I did not have radiation. I needed physical therapy. I needed so much stuff. But when my doctor told me that you're cancer-free, I felt so relieved. You know, I'm over it. I did it. But, you know, one of the down parts about it is when I was done with my treatment and my surgery, I went to a support group.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of trying to prepare you for the next phase in life. I was going in, or I went into that moment very hopeful, But when I left out, I was even more depressed than I was, you know.
Oh, no, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, because the women that were speaking, they were talking about the horror stories after cancer. You know, your life is different. You have so many residual effects, which is very true. But it was a depressive moment. It didn't give me any additional hope. It was worse.
So, obviously, being depressed and stuff like that, is that what caused you to want to come up with My Sister's Keeper? Or, like, what was the changing point in your life where you're like, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. I need to go and do something positive, not only for myself, mm-hmm. but for other people.
So the changing point for me was when I was going through treatment. And I realized how everybody looking at me as if I was going to die, how it contributed to my outcome and my outlook. And so I said, let me change things up a little bit. Let me start looking more feminine, you know, wear makeup because I didn't have any hair or any eyebrows or anything. Let me start wearing, you know, skirts and dresses and wigs and makeup. And the reaction that everybody gave me, it gave me hope. It started making me feel normal because when you're going through cancer, especially breast cancer, you're, you know, I'm lopsided boobs. I didn't have any hair. I'm acting totally different. I felt like an alien. And just to be surrounded by people who treat you normally was something that I wanted and I craved. And I needed that to push me forward. But then also I realized the things that I did have, which was my family and friends surrounding me, taking care of my children. My mother kept my children for 2 months, you know, wow. because of surgery.
Yeah.
My family coming around buying me food. My mother did my lawn. You know, it's just so much things that helped me that I didn't realize until after I was done. So what I wanted to do was kind of create that kind of environment that I had, surrounding women with surrounding women with resources that would help them focus more so on living and reduce those stresses of life, but also create that foundation to where they can look at someone who's been there, done that, and see hope.
So you came up with this nonprofit called My Sister's Keeper. How did you come up with the name?
Actually a Bible verse. So, you know, my brother's keeper, we're my sister's keeper. You know, the same type of concept.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. And for people that are going through the same thing, because I'll tell you, on my social media page and just looking at people in general, everyone deals with this. Absolutely everybody is going through this at some point or another, whether they know somebody, whether it is them, and a lot of people don't know where to turn, and I know you didn't know where to turn either. So My Sister's Keeper, tell me a little bit about what you offer to people.
So My Sister's Keeper, we offer all types of supportive care services from babysitting. We're starting a new program called Waiting Room Watchers, mm-hmm. where women, when they're going through radiation, they can go into their treatment and we're watching your children in the waiting room. We provide meal prep. We provide meal prep, bill payment assistance. The sky's the limit. Wigs, bras, prosthetics, beauty, you know, everything. Everything that will help them feel normal and kind of reduce those stresses in life. And we just, the way that we approach things is very unconventional. You know, we don't sit around in a circle, oh, woe is me, kumbaya, we live. You know, we do art therapy. We have fun and we just...
Sisterhood.
Yeah, it's that sisterhood that we form and it's power in that.
We are talking with Sherry White. She's the president and CEO of My Sister's Keeper. I had found your nonprofit online, and I loved everything that you guys were doing so much because you're helping out people, and you're helping people in their time of need because, and like I said, nobody knows where to turn in those moments. Dimitri, I want to talk to you a little bit. You guys are recognized as the Nonprofit of the Year at the Pink and Black Honors, the City of Cleveland Champions from Councilman Kevin Conwell and Mayor Justin Bibb. So people are starting to notice some of the great work that you guys are doing.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. And yeah, I mean, it's been an amazing year. I think we actually just also came off of our annual Pink and Pretty in Pink. It's a big gala that we do every year for the sisters. And what it is, it's just an opportunity for them to feel beautiful. Like Sherry said, you know, what helped her through the process. And this is my favorite part about her testimony that I love is when she said she took back her femininity because mm-hmm. cancer tries to rob you of that.
Yeah.
So what we do is every year we get together some of the best designers in the city of Cleveland and we have them make custom gowns and we hire professional makeup artists. We dress these women up And when you hear fashion show, you think of just a typical, yeah, let's go and watch them walk the runway. This is beyond a fashion show. This is an opportunity for the women to just be empowered. I mean, when you see these women, you would swear that they're professional models, and they're not. There's just an energy that happens with this sisterhood. You know, year over year, they put a lot of work, they put a lot of time and a lot of effort into making this such a grand show. And it's become very, very popular. We did it for 3 years in a row, but it's become one of the staples in the city of Cleveland, where the fashion who's who kind of come out and support the women. So that's one of the many things that we do, you know, in addition to the walk that you mentioned. So
you talked about the event that you just had in August, and talk about some of the other events that you have coming up as well.
Okay, so in October, of course, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I do want to put out there that My Sister's Keeper does not just focus on women undergoing breast cancer treatment. All types of cancers, any types of cancers, because once again, you know, as Sherry said, what makes our organization stand apart is we're sisters, literally, right? So we have little sisters who are in treatment. So you haven't quite gotten that cancer-free diagnosis yet. And so we partner you up with a big sister who has gone that same journey. So we will match them up based on the types of cancer. So it's really a way of saying, you know, wherever you are in that journey, you're not in the wrong place. You're exactly where you're supposed to be, because you'll have high highs, you'll have low lows. It's an emotional roller coaster, but you're not going through it alone. You actually have someone who understands. You know, like Sherry said, it's great when you have family, but we didn't understand. We never experienced this before. So we did what we knew based on common sense, because she wasn't going to just say, yeah, I need this, I need that. But when someone has walked that journey and walked that road with you, they can recognize, you know, certain spaces in that journey that you may need a little bit more. I talk to Sherry often about some of the little sisters, and she'll say, I don't like the way she looked. And she'll kind of gravitate on her. Yeah. She can kind of pinpoint those moments in her journey when they may feel like giving up, and they don't want to fight a little bit more. And then we just kind of gravitate and pull her a little bit further. So on October 5th, we have our annual A Walk in Her Shoes. This is the seventh year. Thank you, Sherry, for helping me. This is our seventh year of this walk. Again, it takes place in the month of October. One key thing to know about our walk in particular is that we go to a different community every 2 years. So what it is just to really stir up the awareness for the folks in the community. It's so much fun. This is hands down. My most favorite event of the year, because it brings the community together, resources on top of resources, every resource that you can think of. The women dress up, they put on their tutus. We actually are getting really bombarded by the brothers. The brothers are coming out year over year. We see the men kind of coming in and kind of joining in, and people form their teams, they get together, we walk the neighborhood, it's safe. The cars blow, the people wave. It's just a phenomenal, phenomenal event. If you want to register, which we recommend that you do, if you want to come out, you can come out. You don't have to register. But if you do register, it's great that we know you're coming. And you can also do that on our website at myskcle.org. Go to our events tab and look for the upcoming walk on October 5th. Hope to see you guys there.
Awesome.
But one thing to add, though, this year we're doing something different. It's, even though we're doing it in October, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, our walk this year is going to be for all cancers.
All cancers,
so we're having a brand or a trend that says show your color. So we want people to wear the color that their cancer represents. And let's paint the town colorful.
We didn't know anyone in our family who had undergone it. And actually, there's two of our sisters now who are cancer-free, thank goodness. Okay. I think the blessing of it is when we hear cancer, we don't think death anymore.
Yeah.
And the women that are affiliated with our organization, they don't shy away from those conversations. And it's not an end. It's like, oh my God, I got to go through this, but I'm not going through this by myself. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, everyone at some point needs to understand the telltale signs. So I'm glad you asked Sherry about, you know, what were the signs. And some of the signs are very subtle. But one of the things that we always push is one of the ways you do take some control of your life is managing your health before things happen.
Right.
Forming a relationship with a primary care physician, a doctor that you knows you and you know them. And if there's something that's not right in your body, you can have someone who's not going to just brush you off and say, oh, it's just this or oh, it's just that. Get your regular screenings, your mammograms, your colonoscopies. If there's cancer in your history, there are some tests that can be done. But a part of it, too, some of the education that we do as well is just arming yourself with enough information that you're not just taking on what someone tells you you should be doing, that you understand that there are additional options for you in terms of your healthcare. Yeah. Some phenomenal medical. We're in Cleveland. We have some fantastic medical facilities in the city of
Completely,
Cleveland.
Completely,
so we're very blessed. And Sherry and I are both in the healthcare profession for 30-plus years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we take the stuff that we know and we take the people that we're connected to and we kind of bring them along just to add some of those resources on to the sisters as well.
Oh, that's such great advice. Thank you for sharing that. Sherry, was there a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Oh, yes.
And why was it, and what happened, and who convinced you to keep moving forward? Was it yourself? Was it your faith? Like, what happened in that moment? Because I know there's a lot of people that are dealing with, and they're right in the thick of things mm-hmm. right now, mm-hmm. and they're dealing with it. What do you tell those people, and what did you do in that moment?
Yeah, so it starts with you. Everyone around me was trying to make me feel positive and hopeful, but the reality is nobody can do it but you. You have to see that bright light. You have to want to be able to fight it. And so within me, I had to do it. I was looking at my children at the time. My son was 14.
How many kids do you have?
Three.
Oh, you're busy.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's busy. Yeah, two is fine. Oh, yeah. Three, it's like it's a whole new ball game, isn't it?
We had twins. Sorry. Yeah. So my girls, I think, was seven at the time.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be around for them. And so that kind of, changed something in me. Like, hey, Sherry, you need to start looking at this a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Don't look at this as death. Try to give cancer a fight mm-hmm. instead of letting cancer take over you. Because ultimately, at first, everything just seems to be against you, you know? You have to work, but you can't work because you're sick from chemo, you know, and then bills start to pile up. It just seems like the world is so much against you when you have this deadly diagnosis. But I just had to make that switch, you know. I just had to make that switch in my head. I started speaking more vocally with people. I shared with my employer at the time that I was going through cancer. She actually went through cancer and I didn't know. But they were very supportive. They let me work from home, you know, when I could.
Good.
So I could have steady income.
As they should.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And so it was just that I had to want to fight.
Yeah, no, that's important. Now, you guys also have a documentary as well that's coming out. Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to do this for the past 2 years, but we didn't have the funding for it. But this year we received a grant from IOB, and we're working with Launch Art Medias. So this documentary captures the transformation that takes place with our warriors, men and women, who have participated or are participating in the Pretty in Pink Gala. So what you typically see, or what we've seen over the years, is that someone would come and they're very isolated, they're very closed off, they're very uncomfortable, mm-hmm. you know, and then as we practice, you know, have rehearsals, work with a model coach, you start to see these relationships form, and you start to see these people come out of their shells, and you start to see them own cancer and be able to fight cancer. You know, we see a lot of men and women who come to rehearsal right after chemotherapy because it's something that they love doing.
Yeah.
It gives them, it's like a carrot, something to strive for.
Yeah.
And then when we actually have the gala or the fashion that has the fashion show embedded in it, they walk, you know, they're the models. We have their makeup done by Paul Mitchell Beauty School. We have designers making them clothes from scratch. And it's just the opportunity to showcase their life on the stage and celebrate love and perseverance and just give them that extra strength. So the documentary overall just captures that transformation,
yeah.
you know, shares their individual stories and shows on screen the literal transformation of these people.
Oh, that's so when would we be able to see that?
We're working on getting that premiered in October. We haven't set a date yet, but it is coming soon.
Gotcha. Well, please let us know when it debuts, and okay. I think we'd all love to see it. Yeah.
Sure will. Thank you.
Yeah. So My Sister's Keeper, people that are along the journey, is it just for people that have cancer? Is it for families mm-hmm. as well? Talk a little bit about all the people that can go and be a part of your network.
Oh, anybody. So we have those who have survived cancers. And also, let me give you our terminology. I don't like the word survivor. You know, when I was going through cancer yeah. and was told I was cancer-free, it makes me cringe. It makes me feel like a victim. I don't look at cancer as being something that will make me feel like a victim. Mm-hmm. It's a triumph. I beat cancer, so I consider myself and the women within the organization were warriors. You know, even Amen. Though we're still yep. fighting that battle mm-hmm. Due to the residual effects of cancer, every day is a battle and I'm winning, you know. So we're warriors. Yeah. I'm armed and ready to give it a fighting chance. But we take anyone, family members. There are several people who reach out to us because their family have cancer. Someone in their family has cancer and they don't know what to do. So we guide them, you know. You're not sure how to approach someone who has cancer. And it is very touchy. You don't know how to do it. You know, first give that person space, you know.
Yeah, everyone's kind of scared because mm-hmm. it's like they know it. And then they even if you're a close friend, mm-hmm. it seems like they back off a little bit because they don't know the right things to say. And I would assume that if you're going through that's the worst thing that you could do mm-hmm. is to go
oh,
and
yes.
back off.
Yes, mm-hmm. and we see that in so many of our sisters. You know, their family just turn a back on them. We need you there,
yeah.
but give us space as well to figure it out for ourselves.
Yeah.
Don't just disappear.
Yeah.
And most importantly, we want to feel normal. Don't treat me differently because I have cancer. Treat me normal. Mm-hmm. You know, if you yell at me every day, don't stop yelling at me because I have cancer. You know, treat me normal.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. so that's important. We are in the process of looking at starting a My Brother's Keeper. But we focus in the experience or in the body of experience. You mm-hmm. know, it's hard for us to lead My Brother's Keeper because we're not men. So we're looking for men who can lead this charge for us mm-hmm. to help support other men because nobody knows what a man with cancer is going through versus then a man with cancer, you
yeah,
know.
Going, no, yeah. absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's what you want.
All right. So for My Sister's Keeper, you can reach out to us online. It is myskcle.org. I'm going to say it again because that may have sounded different. Myskcle.org or give us a call. Our number is 216-333-1819. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram and the handle is myskcle.
If you understand this journey, I don't care if it's been 30 years, you just remember what you went through to get yourself to the other side of the finish line. We need your support. We need you to become a big sister because the little sisters, again, are those who are still in treatment, beginning their journey somewhere toward the end, but just kind of need that support. They need women who understand. So go to our website once again, sign up on Become a Sister. It's right at the tab. We ask you some very basic information, and the reason why it's important is because we want to match you up with the appropriate sister. So if any of those things sound like something that you're interested in, please, please, please go to our website or give us a call at 216-333-1819. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. 216-333-1819. We'd love to talk to you.
And Demetria, what are some of the ways that you can support My Sister's Keeper?
I'm so glad you asked. There are so many ways. And of course, everyone expects me to say monetarily, even though that is very important, because I do want people to know we are a nonprofit. 100% of the proceeds that we get from the community go to the help and support of our sisters. It's so essential that you know that one of the things that happens is that they never know when they can and can't work. So we are paying their bills. We're helping them, you know, get transportation, childcare, different things for their children. And the more that we have access to, the more we can do. Mm-hmm. But I want to say that the biggest thing, the biggest success of My Sister's Keeper, hands down, is the sisterhood. We need women who understand this journey, whether directly or indirectly, to know that there is another woman who is just beginning her journey and who needs you. Again, the big sisters are very important because we have little sisters coming every day and we got to match them up with a big sister.
We've been talking with Sherry and Demetria, both with My Sister's Keeper. Thank you so much for the information, giving people another outlet that they may not know existed in Northeast Ohio. So we appreciate you both being here. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having us.
And we'll have more Cleveland Connection right after this.